There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Hockaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
All right. You know, you never answered my question.
I'm not here.
I so wish that was true. It's easier when I can, like, you know, just eat snacks and clean a rifle, or, you know, fix a piece of horse tack, or, you know, just brush and groom a ranger and just, you know, listen to a No, but you never answered my question. What are we doing tonight? What do you even want to talk about? I really don't know. When we went outside, see, here's the thing, folks. I know you're listening. You know they're listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, today's date is the 30th of September. It's a couple minutes after 8 o'clock. You're back in the barn after 3 weeks of being gone. We have this schedule where around 7:30 to 7:40, about 20, 30 minutes before the show starts, we leave the barn. The three of us, myself, Jim, and Ranger, we go outside. We watch the barn cats play. Jim admires the country, you know, just the stars and what's going on. And we commented on how it's getting darker. And Ranger goes to the bathroom and, you know, we just kind of walk around a little bit. Well, usually we've got an agenda, something,
right?
A point we want to make on the show. And I said, have you figured out what we want to talk about? And you said, oh, well, yeah, we're getting pretty close to the show. Well, you never answered.
Well, you know, before I do, tell them what you said to me about it being darker when I walked out.
Oh, well, the only reason I brought that up.
That has something to do with where we're going.
Okay, well, what it was is that literally Jim hasn't been here in virtually a month, in 3 weeks.
Hmm.
This is the fourth show. So the last time Jim was actually in the barn was the 2nd of September, and today's the 30th. And I commented to him, and I've said this on the show before. I said we're in that time of year where there's less daylight every day, somewhere between 45 to 70 seconds.
Right.
And so I said, okay, so if you take just round it off to 60 seconds times it's been 28 days, let's see, divided by 60, that's, we're talking about 28 minutes. And I said, notice how dark it is. Usually it's the sun's still out.
Right.
When the three of us are walking around outside before the show.
Yeah.
And I said, this is how subtle people's lives are.
Right.
And I went on to elaborate, and I says, you don't know it's getting darker sooner every day until you really take note of it.
Right.
And I says, it's like somebody that says, well, I'm just going to stop for one beer after work.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done it before. I'm just going to do it this once. I'm just going to stop this once and just have one beer and go to cocktails with everybody after work. I'll be home. It's just this one time. Well, or they say, well, you know, I'm just going to go to the Indian casino for an hour.
Right.
I'm just going to go to the Indian casino for an hour. okay, no, I'm happily married. I don't believe in cheating. But you just see so many TV commercials about these internet dating sites. And you don't have to join, and it doesn't cost any money. I just want to see if there's anybody I know. I just want to see who in the world would put their photos and what they say about themselves. Right. I'm just going to look around for a little bit.
Okay.
Well, that's how it starts. And then all of a sudden, a month or two goes by, and you used to get home at 6 o'clock, and now you're getting home at 9 o'clock.
Right.
Because now it isn't just one beer. It's about three or four beers,
right,
5 days a week.
Right.
And all of a sudden, instead of being at an Indian casino for an hour, you're there for hours every day.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, two or three months gone by, and you don't have your photo, and you've lied about your age, but you have a profile on the dating site, and you're talking to people. Well, you're not talking to them. You're just sending messages back and forth on the dating site. And it happens really, really slow. But if you looked at the first beer after work, and the fact that you're now having four or five beers every single night of the week after work, if you could just step away from your own life and look at those two times, you would say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to have that beer because this is where it's going to lead.
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen in such a short amount of time? But when you're involved in it, and it's really slow, like the first week it's a Wednesday night, and the next week it's another Wednesday night. All of a sudden you're a regular every Wednesday night. And before you know it, well, you're there on a Tuesday, and then you're there on a Thursday. Well, you have to go Friday night because they're having a special on hot wings. And then all of a sudden you're there on a Monday night because your family's going to do something, and you don't like to do that anyways.
Right.
And it just goes on. And you won $200 at the Indian casino. Well, I got to go back. I'm ahead. And before you know it, it's completely changed your life. Well, this is how you gain weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is how you lose weight. This is how you get good habits. This is how you get bad habits. But what people don't realize is this slow occurring,
right,
that you're losing, right, 60 seconds of sunlight every day. It seems like nothing until you realize, mm-hmm, that the last time Jim was here in the barn, the sun stayed out 28 minutes, almost a half hour more of sunlight before, right, it got dark on the ranch.
Right.
And it's only been,
right,
a month.
Yeah, 3.5 weeks.
Well, it works in a positive way. If you acknowledge that there is a God, if you acknowledge that Jesus and grace and the Holy Spirit, that all four of them really are true, and that you were born with grace and you have it, and Jesus' blood paid for it, and once you see a little grace, you'll see more grace, and that it can do the same thing in a positive manner, it works the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because the beers are still half off on Tuesdays, the hot wings are there on Fridays, and there's still going to be Indian casinos, and it looks like there's no end to the dating sites on the internet, and grace you were born with, so really, the only thing that is the odd man out, the only thing that's really bizarre is what? Us.
Mm-hmm.
The X factor, the unknown equation is the human being in all of this.
Right.
And the small choices we make.
Yeah.
So back to my original question. What do you want to talk about on the show tonight?
Well, this is actually part of it because...
Well, what's the other part?
Well, the other part goes back to some of the things that I shared with you at the very beginning that started to make sense to me while I was gone. I was in North Carolina this past weekend, and had a really good time. There's some really great people that were around me and that I was able to fellowship with and hang out with, and we were talking about all kinds of things.
Breakfast Ed and your other breakfast buddies.
Breakfast Ed and Breakfast Tim, and then Pastor Jonathan Morgan and Pastor Eric and Wilson, and there's just some good people that are getting this and are beginning to testify to things that are taking place. And let me just share this. This is off the topic of where I'm going, but boy, I strongly encourage you, if you have someone that you can share things with when you hear this on the radio show, don't just keep it to yourself. Find somebody that you can talk with this about and stir yourself up about it. There's nothing like having somebody to run things by and to share thoughts and to share testimonies and experiences with. And by all means, I'm not trying to give you a substitute to going right directly to God, but you do need to have people that you need to be able to fellowship with us this about.
Some of the best conversations that I have on a daily basis are on this topic. This is what me and Ranger spend the most of our day talking about. Me and Ranger can talk about grace nonstop. You know, Ranger will look at me and kind of tilt her head, and I'll say, yeah, that was grace. And she'll wag her tail and bark, or, you know, she'll wag her tail and bark, and I'll say, where? You know, and, you know, yeah, you're right. You have to have this to share with somebody.
You know, you're gonna have an indifference to what I'm going to share, but it won't be the first time, I'm sure. But anyhow.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah, I was talking about you. We were on the golf course.
Oh, my God!
See, Breakfast Ed, Breakfast Tim, and myself. We were on the golf course, and I talked to him. I said, hey, guys, here's one of the best examples of grace we've seen today. And it was a leaf that was on the green that had legs. You ever seen a leaf bug?
What?
Have you ever seen a leaf bug?
I never even heard of a leaf bug. Are you sure that's a real bug?
No, I'm serious. It's great. It's awesome. If you're ever going to be a bug, that's the type of bug you would want to be. You cannot tell. It looked just like a green leaf like this, sitting up. You would never have known until you got close enough and you see these legs on it and it can walk.
Well, I'll be darned. I just Googled leaf bug, and you know what? It's a bug.
It is.
It's a bug, but its structural makeup makes it look like a little green leaf.
It does, and it's awesome.
They get to be pretty big.
Okay, it was this big right here, and it had these legs that resemble a grasshopper in the back.
They come
up like a peak. Okay,
they come in brown and pink.
This guy was green
and yellow. It looks like they kind of change with that. So there is
So we didn't get weird with this, but as we looked at it, we said, "How creative is God to make somebody like this have such amazing camouflage?" Think about that. You would never even think at all. You wouldn't even have gone near it, except I just, for some reason, caught my eye. I walked over. Sure enough, it was a leaf bug. I've seen one before, so I kind of thought maybe that was it. So anyhow, we were having some wonderful fellowship, and this is what some of the things that came up, and I really want to maybe talk about this for a little bit, and maybe we'll end up getting into some of the things that we shared earlier tonight. So, do you remember when Adam and Eve sinned? And it says, following their sin, that the sound of the Lord came into the garden, and Adam recognized the sound, the breeze of God that came in, and Adam hid from the presence of the Lord. And then God said, "Where are you, Adam?" And Adam said, "Well, I was afraid, so I hid." And then God said, "Of course, who told you you were afraid?" And now we're into all the repercussions of sin. But folks, I saw something. Man, somebody's going to say, "Oh, well, that's no big deal. I've seen that forever." So then it just reveals, you know, my moment of excitement of seeing something. So if that's all it is, then that's fine. But I'm looking at this, and back, I just rewound a little bit to something I never considered, because I've always thought, according to God coming in the cool of the day to walk with Adam, I always looked at that as that's what God and Adam did. God would come and then they'd walk. God would come and then they'd walk. I guess I never thought about the fact if he came, that meant that he actually went. So Adam was alone and God would go and then maybe, you know, Adam would sleep at night and then God would come in the morning. I don't know. These are just religious ideas that you get. But when I was looking at that passage, this is what happened. I all of a sudden recognized, I said, well, wait a minute. This passage here is in the context of sin. Something's changed. In other words, what I thought was just normal is not normal. Wait a minute. God and Adam being a spirit linked together with an inseparable bond and connection.
24/7.
24/7 means heaven, earth, earth, heaven. Literally, there was no limitation to them being with each other, enjoying one another all the time. What? But when sin came, all of a sudden, it was severed, and now God had to come to man.
What misses most religious people that speak in front of groups is, number one, they blow past Genesis. They discount it, which is a shame.
Because, well, we've always said that on the show, too.
Yeah, I've always said that Genesis is way overlooked and misunderstood on an amazing scale, gigantic scale. And what people need to see this will make sense, and it'll bring other passages into the Bible that are important. When Adam and Eve and the serpent were punished, and it truly was just punishment, well, God had to create a reality for them to exist in their literally altered state.
Right.
Because the Garden of Eden was truly perfect. And there was no nap time. There was no, well, Adam and Eve, you two kids, behave, you know, I've got to go take care of some things. I'll see you in the morning.
Right.
Kind of deal. It was literally a 24/7 connection.
Yeah, right.
Because there's nothing that says otherwise. Just the contrary, that those three entities were of one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to take the legs off of the serpent, turn it into a venomous snake that would want to bite man, and man wouldn't want to be bit, for childbirth to be painful, for a man to have to work to put food on the table, and ashes to ashes, dust to dust, and for Adam and Eve to be conscious, self-conscious of their bodies to wear clothing. None of those punishments are acceptable in the reality of the Garden of Eden.
Right.
Which means that their lives weren't only changed, their existence, their whole perception, their perspective didn't just change, but God also had to create a reality for the punishment to fit. So now fast forward, and it really hammers home the point, there's nothing good of the world, and there's nothing good of the flesh.
Right.
Well, of course there's nothing good of the world, because the world that we know today in 2014 is a creation by Christ to fit the punishment of Adam and Eve.
Right.
Well, of course there's nothing good of the flesh, because the flesh and the body and the reality that we know and we abide by is also the punishment of Adam and Eve.
Right, right.
It goes back to what I said. Are you thinking and feeling and living a life and a perspective of Adam and Eve before applesauce, apple cider, and apple pie?
Right, right.
Or after?
Sure.
And you're seeing this now.
Yeah, and see, here's part of...
Well, it's about time.
Yeah, I already got that earlier tonight.
yeah,
so anyhow, here's part of what I'm seeing. Because if you're to talk about some of these things to a lot of the people I know, they would certainly agree with the fact, well, of course, God is everywhere. Everybody knows you can have God at all time. You can be in fellowship, and you should be in fellowship with him at all times. But I don't think, well, just from actually knowing people that say that, it's not registering in the same way of which this passage is trying to help us. There's more to it than that. It's not just, well, God's everywhere. Oh, God's so good. God's so great. He's everywhere. This is different now, because what I'm seeing in this is this perpetual, unlimited reality of God being every bit as real as anyone that has unlimited reality of flesh to flesh. It is just, and that's what Jesus meant when he said, spirit begets spirit and flesh begets flesh.
Yeah.
The punishment was flesh begets flesh. But to a spirit that begets spirit, it's another world. It's another access. It's another dimension.
And part of the very subtle, they're subtle, but they're not hidden. There's a lot of subtle inferences to what we're talking about right now. Because, like I told you before the show started, he says, look at all the buddies that follow Jesus.
Right.
He said, drop your fish nets. Drop your carpentry tools. Stop what you're doing and leave with me right now. Look what he did with Moses. He said, tell your brother to take care of everything and just gone. There was no planning. There was no keeping in touch, no emails, no text messages, no phone calls, just gone. There are examples all over in Scripture where to truly have a connection with Christ, you must have an absolute drastic change in what you believe to be real.
Right.
And it's like we say, And see, think about this that I say that inflames so many people. If you're praying and nothing's happening, it's not a prayer. How can you pray without success when it says, ask and you shall receive?
Right.
And see, this also, all of a sudden you say, well, yeah, that would fit. Because I think I've been praying, but I haven't. It's not a prayer because I'm not connected.
Right.
This is harsh, but it's absolute, but it's making sense to you.
Yeah, well, and here's something. This won't get off point because I want to keep really focused on this for a little bit. But when you made the comment, is something has to be drastically different in order to have this. Well, this is an indictment against modern religion to take the message of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Because salvation is not just words at all. Salvation is not just about doing a better religious service. Salvation in its essence is taking the heart of man, which is corrupt, which is sinful, and by nature no longer in fellowship with God, and recreating in that heart the divine nature of God, where there's a complete union and a complete connection in the inside of a man. And that's the beginning of this perpetual, nonstop, every day. So when religion waters it down, we literally lose traction from the moment we say, now, Jesus, come into our hearts.
Now you know why, out of the clear blue, out of left field, so quickly after I went home, how I had such disdain and disinterest and criticism for organized religion.
Right.
Why you would say, well, this church, I'd say, it's not a church, it's a building, it's a structure, call it a shoebox, call it anything you want, but I'm telling you, it's not a church. And right. Why people have such a hard time, because they'd say, well, we go there to worship and fellowship. How can that be bad? Well, on the essence, on the surface, it doesn't seem to be bad.
Right.
But when you really get down to the nuts and bolts like we're talking about, it's a major distraction.
Yeah.
Because it gives you a false sense of accomplishment. It's a misunderstood achievement. And it really, truly gets in the way with a connection with the guys.
Okay, so prove a point with me.
Okay.
When you went home and you saw what a real connection is supposed to do and the evidence or the testimony of that connection. Okay? Tell me how much of the tip of the iceberg, or was it the whole iceberg, the half, or were you just barely starting at that moment?
It was like, wasn't the tip of an iceberg. It's like being in Oklahoma and you're on the internet and you're watching a video and it says, look, here's icebergs in the Antarctic. That's how far removed and how simplistic.
Okay, and that was
my impression was.
Okay, so then my point is, if that's to the degree that it you saw how much more there is, and that this is just a fraction of the beginning of a start, now fast forward to or rewind to how modern religion has even taken that right away from 99.9% of the people.
See, if I would have described it any other way than how I just did, that I'm in Oklahoma and I'm just watching a video about icebergs on the internet.
Right.
Then it would have been wrong, or I would have been an idiot, because the true essence of the answer is that, well, it's limitless and boundless.
Mm-hmm.
It's an iceberg that you never find the tip and you never see how deep it goes under the water, because it grows as your relationship of acknowledgement of icebergs grows.
Right.
This goes part and parcel to the statement, you will do greater works than me.
Right.
That's an invitation and an indication and a goal, a bar to cross that you should expect to achieve wondrous things.
Mm-hmm.
And to achieve wondrous things and to not have limits and boundaries means that to participate, subscribe, honor, or worship in a way that has such limitations or boundaries is by sheer definition counterproductive to your goal to truly understand what is supposed to be real and what is a direct cause and effect. For every action, there's a reaction.
Right.
In Genesis.
Right.
There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. Well, that sounds really cool, and it sounds really profound, but yet it's tough to really respect and appreciate that.
Right.
Because nobody, me, you included, we hold dearly to what we think is real.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the problem is we all want a relationship with the guys, or you wouldn't be listening to this show every week.
Right.
And on a separate note, thanks. We're glad you listen.
Yes.
And hello to all the new listeners. But the thing is, we, on some level, all of us are trying to bring grace into the reality that we know, because it's the only reality we know. I watched a movie many years ago, and I don't remember the title of it. It was an army picture. And there was a bunch of crazy people in a nut house. You know, the kind that they don't give silverware to and they eat
right.
with toothpicks.
Right.
And they were just nuts. I mean, they were just all nuts. And there was all kinds of grenades and people being stabbed and shot. It was World War II. You get
right.
the idea.
Yeah.
And they're just all eating their meals. And all this war is going on around them, and they're just totally oblivious to it.
Right.
They're smiling at each other, and, you know, because, quote unquote, they're like retarded. They're, you know, short bus kids. And at the end of the battle, when things calm down, the soldier, he says, they didn't even know all this killing, all this happened. They're crazy. And then the other guy says, but look how happy they are. They just were enjoying their meal and friendship.
Hmm.
Maybe we're the crazy ones.
Huh.
Look at how they are compared to us.
Right.
We're the ones throwing grenades and running around shooting each other.
Right.
And, you know, they're having a food fight with mashed potatoes.
Right.
And we're saying they're the crazy
sure.
ones.
Sure.
Well, think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the things that you'd go through. Look at the things that you endure for years. Look at the restrictions and the boundaries and the rules and the things that you have to do. Why would anyone choose to endure those?
Right.
Why would you need a vacation? Why would you want to retire? Why would you think it's great if somebody runs into a power pole and everybody gets sent home early for the day? Why do we look for reprieves,
right,
if it's really something that is so perfect for us to have?
Yeah.
And at the same token, if there's nothing good of the flesh, there's nothing good of the world, why would Christ, why would Jesus, the Holy Spirit, grace, why would anyone consciously choose to acknowledge it or to make it flourish or participate in it? Even negative energy doesn't participate in what we think is real. This is,
yeah.
This is really where we've watered, fertilized, and pruned and put a grow light on the plant that is the punishment of Adam and Eve.
We have. I mean, it's so obvious, yes.
I don't know how else to put
it. No, that's a good way to put it. We've grown it. We've manicured it. We've taken care of it. We've actually...
we've cloned it.
I was going to say just that. We've cloned it.
We've turned one plant into a hothouse.
Right.
Of genetically cloned plants.
We've worshipped it. We've...
And then we want to thank grace for it. And we try to bring grace into it.
Yeah.
And we look for grace in such a place.
Well, you know, I told you a long time ago, it was a long time ago that I said this to you, but you should remember it, about one of my friends and I. We were working with this family, and this lady had cancer. And this is, we actually did see it during that time. Some really good things happened, but it's before I started getting this kind of absolute information that would help to really separate what was right and what was wrong in a person's thinking. So anyhow, we're working with this individual, and they're not getting any better, and they're dying of cancer, and they were on morphine. And when they were on morphine, they started seeing things.
Yeah.
And they started seeing angels. And so this is an interesting story. The husband walks into the bedroom, and she yells out. She says, "Hey, stop right there." And they said, "Why?" And she said, "Well, because there's a huge angel standing right by the bed. You almost walked into him." and then the husband got this kind of disgusted look on his face. He said, "Well, if there's an angel standing right here, then ask him how come you're not healed." And the lady just kind of real innocently said, "Oh, okay." And so she asked the angel, "How come I'm not healed?" And this is what the angel said. Like with a confused look on his face, he said, "But you're already healed." And then the husband shot back, "Well, if you're already healed, then ask him how come it's taken so much time." And she asked the angel that, and the angel said in a quandary, "You're making this so difficult. Healing is so easy." Now, what's the angel supposed to say? "You got a cancer in you. You know, this is really bad."
Yeah.
No, from God's perspective, it's gone. It's not there. But we're worshiping the world of punishment.
One of the things, I don't know if I've said this or not on the show. Maybe I shouldn't, but one of the things that's always, and it makes me chuckle, and I think that's just my twisted personality, but I've never understood how someone can say they're saved and yet have so much junk, turmoil, and strife and suffering in their lives.
Right.
I mean, it's literally like saying, I was drowning in the lake,
right?
And you saved me,
mm-hmm.
And then you took me home, and every day you put a towel over my face and pour water on me, because that's what waterboarding is,
right?
The essence of that's what if the anybody does
drowning.
Yeah. If nobody understands what waterboarding is, what they do is they take a bath towel, they put it over your head. And they tilt you back in a chair, and then they dump water on the towel, and it gives you the sensation that you're going to drown because you can't see the water coming, and the water just covers your mouth and nose, and you just can't take it. You're not going to drown, but psychologically you think you are, and it freaks you out. That's waterboarding.
Wow.
So anyways, I save you from drowning in the lake, but every day I waterboard you.
Right.
I torture you with water.
Yeah, terrible.
That doesn't make any sense, but that's what I look at when I see people. They say they're saved. How can you truly be saved by God and have negativity in your life?
Yeah.
That truly is an insult to the guys.
Yeah.
It has to be. I've saved you, but yet you have issues? Because most people that have issues have unanswered prayers. So if you have issues and you have unanswered prayers, maybe you're not as saved as you think you are.
Right, right.
Because Adam and Eve didn't have issues until what? They were being punished.
Yeah, I'm looking at something right here in verse 18 of Romans 1. It's the King James, and I don't like all the these and thou. So let me get to the New King. It says, For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Okay, the just shall live by faith. Then listen to this. It says, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Notice it said suppress the truth. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but because futile in their thoughts and in their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the images made like corruptible man. In other words, they began to worship things that were apart and distortions that were a part of punishment instead of God. And there was no excuse. They couldn't get around the fact that they were actually visibly, every single person visibly experiencing grace, but would not go toward it. Refused it.
See, part of the motivation behind the letters of Paul was asking people, why are you living the reality you are? He didn't say they were sinning. He didn't say the choices they were making were bad or that they were being bad people. He just said, why are you concentrating on a false reality?
Right.
Why are you living a reality that has no room for grace?
Right.
That keeps you so busy, so drowning in a to-do list that you don't even have time to think about grace.
Right.
And speaking of things, we need to, folks, we need emails and text messages. The way you text the show is the first word that you type in your text message is the word grace. And once you type grace, you type in the rest of your text message, comment or question. And when you press the send button, all you do is type in 69302. That's 69302. No one, no area code. It isn't even a full phone number. It's just five numbers. 69302, and the first word's grace. Emails. We'd like to get some emails from you. I got a couple to read, but we need more emails. It's the name of Jim's show, The Abiding Presence. All one word, no caps, no space. At G, the letter Gmail. .com, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Okay, as we wait for our first text, we've got we got one email that came in 3 days ago. It says, liked the beginning. It's always nice to have some lighthearted fun. I think they're talking about last week's show.
Yeah,
that'll be on the archives. It was probably the funniest beginning we've ever had.
Yeah,
was last week's show. It says, great show as well. Man, I'm really getting an understanding of things. God showed me the next day after listening and applying the thoughts about connection versus words, how I'd been doing some things that really didn't please him or make other people happy at all. Made the connection. This is from someone named Ronald. Then we have another one here. This person, they didn't want their name mentioned. It says, how do I cast all my care on Jesus? I'm stuck. How do I dismiss pain in my body? I will be listening closely. Love to all of you. And then we got one more email here. This one's from Breakfast Ed. It says, "Hey, Ranger, BJ and Jim. Wow, great show tonight. Maybe should be titled Leaf Bugs, Apples, and Connections. Shout out to Pastor Eric and his wife Elizabeth and the great folks at Living Faith in Elm City, and to Pastor Jonathan mm-hmm. and his wife Sherry and Matthew and Tammy at Cornerstone Family in Fakwa Varina for all their hospitality this weekend. It's easy to see how their folks are taking the hill with leadership like we saw this weekend. Shout out also to Jim and his wife from St. Louis. Congratulations on your victory. Great topic tonight. Keep up the great work, Breakfast Ed." So those are the three emails that we've had so far. Still no text messages. I wonder, maybe, I don't know, maybe they just thought it was going to be another pre-recorded show. And so we don't have anybody listening.
We had three in a row, right?
Three what?
Pre-recorded shows in a row?
Yeah, almost the entire month of September, you were on vacation. Huh. Gone.
I was gone.
Who knows what you were doing and where and who with?
I was gone. I was pasteurizing.
Well, it was just me and Ranger in the barn. Oh, we got a text message. It says, "So how do we get out of this reality?" And it says, "Thank you. Hello, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Great show tonight. Here we go. Dennis and Muriel Madsen, Eau Claire, Wisconsin."
Good, good. Good to hear from them.
Okay, so let's answer this email we got.
Okay.
You want me to read it again? Do I have to find
it? Yeah. No, read it again. It's about the pain.
Hold on, because it's already, I moved it. Let's see. Let me find it. It'll be easy because it's on top. It's right here. It says, "How do I cast all my care on Jesus? I'm stuck. How do I dismiss pain in my body? I will be listening closely."
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is one of the major points of what we're trying to really get across here, and tonight we've actually touched that on these, you know, the significant and profound difference between the reality and world of God and then the punishment of this world, which we've bought into, is that we're not supposed to even have cares. I know the scripture says cast your care. That's the reason why you do it, is because there's nothing to actually of this world care about. So the fact that you're wondering, how do I cast it? The first thing is, why is there so much value in the thing that you need to cast? Ask yourself those questions. Where are your feelings and your emotions? And how do you get your thoughts motivated to actually have such, stress, anxiety about something? And then the second thing I want to say concerning your pain, Paul talked about this, and it's very profound when you really begin to zero in. And that is, he said, don't get caught up looking at the things which are seen. Seen, he means things that are attached to the senses, to this world. But look at the things that are unseen, or the things which are attached to God's world. He said, for the things that are seen are temporary. So what does that say about your pain? The pain that seems to be so amazingly grave. Well, it's temporary at best, because all prayers are answered. Ask and you shall receive. So there goes your pain, right there. Jesus took your pain. See, we can build such a wonderful case of truth from what we see, and just getting to know God himself, you realize that all of a sudden your mind can get quiet and God can become more real than that pain. Pain is a distraction. So pain ought to be dealt with like any other distraction. It ought to be dismissed. And allow your heart to have fellowship with God. And why wouldn't that fellowship bring pain relief? That's my thought, BJ.
Well, I'm trying to think how to word all this. I think that, well, I'm going to qualify this.
Okay.
This is strictly my opinion and my perspective of things. I'm going to let you off the hook.
Okay.
And your show. when people ask questions such as this person did, how do I give it all to Jesus? How do I get past things? I think that those are questions that are actually unimportant. I think there's questions that have a lot more immediate attention.
Okay.
Such as, why am I living a life where such questions would even come up? If I'm a Christian, if I believe there is a God, if I believe there is grace, and I'm born with grace, and Jesus' blood paid for all my sins, and all my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, why am I entertaining such questions?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, I've said before, don't worry about the questions. You know?
Right, right.
I think that there needs to be a kind of emotional and mental do-over for some people. They really just need to literally sit down and say, enough is enough. This isn't working. And it goes to the point that we made this tonight, that where you've literally been gone from the ranch for 28 days. And in 28 days, the ranch is 30 minutes darker sooner.
Correct.
Because of the time of year it is. We're going into right. fall and winter.
Right.
And I think that people need to be forgiving of themselves and also more introspective of themselves to start on a similar level. Because everybody wants grace. Everybody believes they should have grace. But yet, really, how much grace do they actually recognize in others, or how much grace do they recognize every day that has nothing to do with them? Like a leaf bug.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the fact that the sky looks better with some clouds than just clear blue. Or that even though there's a storm coming, sunsets look amazing with thunderclouds.
Right.
You get pinks and grays and blues and mm-hmm. and fuchsias. Even though there's the impending bad weather coming, you get to see a glorious sunset because right. of these dark clouds blocking the sunlight.
Right.
Well, instead of preparing for bad weather and saying, oh, it's going to be rough tonight, if you say, thank you, God, for a beautiful sunset and these storm clouds and all these different shades of grays and blues and pinks. This is just wondrous. This is great. Thank you. Well, someone that is appreciating something like that and thanking the guys for it, why would grace let a storm bother them?
Hmm.
That doesn't make any sense, does it?
Right, no.
But to self-prophesize a bad evening because, oh, look, you can't even see the sun. It's getting dark early. Look at all those thunder clouds. That's bad, and it's coming right for us. Look at that mindset. Look at the reality that you've created for yourself.
Sure.
And so I think the question is one of the most important questions to possibly consider is, what type of a world are you creating for yourself to live in?
Yeah, yeah.
And it goes back to what I said. Here it is. It's World War II. It's the American and the Germans, and they're shooting and stabbing and bayoneting and lopping grenades at each other. And then there's a whole table of people smashing each other's face in mashed potatoes while all this is going on.
Right.
Who's crazy?
Right, right.
Whose reality is messed up there?
Sure.
And so I don't know if that answers their question or not.
Oh, that's a good point. Good point.
Let's see if we got any more emails.
While you're looking for emails, let me read this here, because this goes along with, you know, how Paul was so adamant about trying to help people let go of wrong mentalities. And we're talking tonight about some things connected to this. And it says here in Ephesians in chapter 2, verse 1 in the Message Bible, it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing when we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with the whole lot of us. Instead, immense in mercy and with an incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives, made us alive in Christ. He did all this on his own with no help from us. Then he picked us up and set us down in highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Master. I wanted to read that because of the way that the Message Bible reveals how the world, you let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. And this, to me, is the disintegration of what was real at one point to the point where 6,000 years later, how in the world would we even think that we're close in the way that the world and society is spinning as far as experiencing the tangibility of God? In fact, the tangibility of the world has become so amazingly real to us that in what we call churches, or on the show, we say more religious buildings, you'll find very little evidence of God himself. Where years and years and years ago, it was the church which was the place where at least you would find God. So things are deteriorating all the time. And I like the story about the 28 days and the time that seems to elapse. And you go outside and hear it's dark, because as subtle as that is, something taking place right underneath your nose and you don't recognize it, even that much more subtle is the work of society that's literally drowning out the reality of God. That's why when I went back to Genesis, and I'll finish this thought with this. I went back to Genesis, and again, it really made an impact on me when I began to realize what I've always considered to be Adam and Eve and God walking in the cool of the day and having fellowship. I always considered that to be the highest and the best and the most amazing thing. And of course, the fellowship with God is. But I put it into a limitation and a boundary and didn't realize what I was reading was actually the version that took place after sin, the distortion. What wasn't the reality? What became then the punishment? Where man didn't have the access to God like he wanted, and God had to come and find him. Well, before that, they didn't have to find each other because they literally never left each other's side. And as much as we might say today, I know God is with me, he's always with me. Jesus said, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we quote that a lot. But how many of us are open to the idea that God could be so real that what we've called a gift of the Spirit or some supernatural occurrence as the Holy Spirit would give us, having such great tangibility with God, really, for Adam and Eve before sin, it was nothing but that all the time, 100%. And when Jesus came to give us new life and make our spirits become completely united to God once again, he gave us that potential to walk with God like that every day of our life. And if it wasn't for religion to tell us that it wasn't possible, we'd be having this really, in a sense, subconsciously. BJ, this is where, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this, this is where all the testimonies that you and I have heard for the last 3 years, we could build a really big sandcastle, we could build a really big paper house, we could take matchbox and build a really nice, you know, little whatever. But here's my point. With all of the testimonies we've heard of people that said, when I got saved, I asked Jesus into my heart. I didn't know anything. I didn't know what to do, but I'd just go home at night and get quiet. And God's presence would come in my room so real that I'd take out a journal and begin to write things down that he said. And I've got more than one journal of just page after page after page. But then I thought, well, maybe I better go to a church or try to find a church. And when I went, within a very short period of time, All those experiences with God dissipated, and it's been 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years since I've ever experienced God.
The couple of small churches that I don't know what you'd call. It's not checking in. That's not right. I don't know. Stop by, visit, snoop. I don't know. Eavesdrop, whatever. The couple of churches that the guys have provided me, I guess, access or witness
right,
to.
Right.
I've started talking to them and asking them questions, and they get real quiet and they start to cry because they never meet at the same time on the same day. It has nothing to do with a wristwatch or a calendar.
Okay.
Or time of year. But yet they all seem to come to a general consensus, and it's just a sharing of testimonies, and amazing things always happen. And one thing that they were missing, and I was trying to figure out a way that, you know, well, you know, a lot of times I don't get to share things. You know, it happens a lot. Very frustrating for you, I know it is.
Yeah.
And I said, have you ever, instead of enjoy this, respect it, and love it, and thank the guys for it, I says, but from now on, take note of what occurs or what doesn't occur because you are together. And you're literally swimming in a pool of a swimming pool full of grace. So while you're doing laps in a pool of grace, take note of what happened or didn't happen while you were swimming in grace. And they says, what do you mean? And I says, well, just watch the news, talk to your friends, your family, your neighbors, just think of things. And I says, and then the next time you get together, compare those notes. And they started to say, well, you know, normally this time of day, I'm on the expressway. And there was a major pileup, and people were literally, they had their cars turned off because traffic didn't move for a couple of hours. And I normally would be there, but I was here. And somebody would say, well, usually this time of day, I let my dogs out to play in the backyard.
Right.
But I was here, and there was an amazing storm and lightning and wind, and a tree fell in the backyard, and who knows what could have happened to my two little dogs.
Right.
Well, the end of this is that everybody started taking note of while they were swimming in a pool of grace, enjoying each other's company.
Yes.
Enjoying being at a church. At the same time they were there, there was other things occurring that they would have had to deal with or be a victim of or witness that was negative that still happened. The only thing was they weren't there because they were together sharing grace.
Yeah.
And I said, that's the point. If you want to know why you want a relationship with God, if you really want to know what grace can do for you, it's to show you that there is a separate existence that continues to move on, that has all kinds of pitfalls and quagmires and quicksand that you are never availed of because grace keeps you from it.
Mm.
It's like a small child. You bake cookies. You play board games.
Right.
You give the dog a bath. You rent a movie. You order pizza. But a small child has no idea that it's one of the world's recordest storms of the year outside.
Right, right.
Because you've kept that child busy all day long. And as far as the child's concerned, it's been a wonderful day.
Right.
And people come over and say, boy, this is a terrible day. And the child's go, how can this be a terrible day? We've had pizza. We made cookies.
Sure.
We watched movies. We played Monopoly. Why is this a bad day? Adults are so stupid. I don't get it. Well, we're child of Christ. Mm-hmm. So while we're enjoying grace, participating in grace, he says he's our Father. He says we're his children.
Right.
So why wouldn't our lives be cookies, movies, and Monopoly while the rest of people who are not participating, they're thinking it's the storm of the year outside?
Right.
This goes back to the reality that we talked about in Genesis.
Yes.
At any given moment, the serpent, Adam and Eve, could have been right back in the Garden of Eden. But they tried to excel. They tried to flourish. They accepted their punishment.
I got verse to, I think, back all that up. Listen to this. It says over in Romans chapter 8, verse 12 in the Message Bible, it says, so don't you see that we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent? There's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. There are things to do and places to go. Sounds kind of like enjoying Monopoly and enjoying the things of life, getting rid of all that thinking of trying to compartmentalize everything about your life instead of enjoying grace. Verse 15 says, the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. We know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through, and if we go through the hard times with him, then we'll certainly go through the good times with him. Well, sounds like a scripture that kind of supports the whole idea of changing the way we see it, being childlike, not having a care. This goes back to that fellow's question about how do you cast your care? Well, look at the perspective. When the perspective's right, you realize there's nothing to care about. You want to talk about my Wednesday? Because I'll be there at the library.
Hardesty Library?
Tomorrow night.
I normally don't watch news because I don't care about the news. But I happen to catch some news over the weekend because we were baling hay. And they said that there was a lot of libraries around Tulsa that were changing their hours because of the time of year. Have you received any word from the library?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a couple of dates in October that we couldn't get one, two of them because they already booked everything on us way ahead of time, which is unusual. One date because they're renovating, but then we already know anytime there's holidays, things like that, they close early.
Okay. But I mean, it's still going to be from
7 to 8 is still
7
fine.
To 8.
Yeah, still fine.
And it's going to be on Facebook tomorrow night.
Yes. Yes, we should have a good live streaming tomorrow night. So
we've only received those two text messages. If you want to text the show, the first word that you type is the word grace. And then you send that to this number, 69302. We got an email. Emails are the show's name, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. It says, hi, y'all. I'm new to the show from St. Louis, Missouri in the United States of America. So we are born again, born back to our original created value, as if we never ate the apple. And it says, Rice Krispies, Carol. So
did Carol send us some Rice Krispies?
I don't know what that means, apple Rice Krispies. Well, she says as if we never ate the apple, then right after it says Rice Krispies, so I don't know what that means.
Huh.
But she's saying, so born back to our original created value as if never ate the apple. So
why don't you give the P.O. box first, just in case she wants to send us some Rice Krispies?
By the time we get Rice Krispie squares in the mail, they probably won't be any good.
I know.
I did go to the mailbox today,
right,
and there wasn't anything in there. It said, this one says, BJ and Jim, thanks for the show. Liked your answer to the question, BJ. I think thankfulness and praises are one of, if not the key to getting us in touch with God's reality. Being in an attitude of thankfulness makes it much easier to see the grace in our lives. And this says, thanks. This is from someone named Mike. You know, it goes back. We baled hay here over the weekend, and the barn is the barn's got a lot of hay in it, which is good. And it's like I said, I don't pray for rain because there's probably somebody that's praying for rain.
Sure.
I mean, I don't pray for it not to rain so I can bale hay, and I don't pray for it to rain so my grass grows so I can bale it. I don't do that because for every person that wants it to rain, there's somebody who doesn't. And their reason for not wanting it to rain could be better or greater than my reason for it to rain or vice versa.
Right.
And that's really not the point. I'm grateful for the harvest.
Right.
I mean, the first thing I did when I woke up Friday morning was I just said, well, guys, we're going to have one fabulous second cutting of hay. Hope you guys brought your gloves because we're all working today. We're going to put a lot of hay in the barn, so you guys better bring your gloves. That's what I just said to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturday morning when we woke up, I says, well, you guys did good yesterday, but we're not done. I expect the four of you to pitch in just like you did yesterday, and I'm appreciative for it. Well, what am I doing? I'm acknowledging not only is God real, but that God's baling hay.
Right.
And then I'm thanking him for a bountiful harvest, and then everything's going to go good. And it does.
Yeah, it was just like Monday when Tim and Ed and I played golf. The radar showed that there was rain everywhere except one little pocket. And we played golf, and the moment that we finished and we walked to the car, it started to rain. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Hey, read please again the Rice Krispie Lady so we can answer that. I smoothed over that just having fun, but I want to get back to that.
Let me find it here because I moved it to file, but it's on top, so... it says, hi, you all. I'm new to the show from St. Louis, Missouri.
Right.
So we are born again, born back to our original created value as if we never ate the apple.
Yeah, well, Jesus came, and actually, if you think about it, he showed us continually 100% of his time in the 3.5 years that we have witness and testimony from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that were writing down the story. We have nothing but testimony of Jesus acting as a spirit in continual communion with his Father. There wasn't anything that he was afraid of. There wasn't anything that he was worried about. He didn't have cares that he even had to cast on anybody. He literally stayed out of a fleshly consciousness and stayed in a spirit consciousness. Now, we've shared this before. If you look at the choices that Jesus made, they were always about what God and the Holy Spirit and grace could do instead of what he could do. For instance, he could have told the disciples, yes, go into the town, buy enough food for 10,000 people. But he didn't. He said, what? Bring me whatever you do have. They said, well, all we've got is a little lunch with a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish. He said, that's more than enough. Sit everybody down in 50s and 100s. And he took it, he lifted it up, and he gave thanks. Isn't it interesting that he gave thanks, and BJ just gave a testimony about giving the guys thanks before the work started, which is saying, you're so real to me, I'm thanking you ahead of time for getting your gloves on and making this an amazing day of doing hay. And Jesus lifted up the bread, gave thanks, and said, Father, I'm thanking you ahead of time that with you there's nothing impossible, that this food is enough and more than abundantly enough to feed all these people. And that little lunch fed the whole 10,000 plus people and had 12 baskets left over. Everything Jesus did was a choice. To choose being a spirit connected to God like Adam and Eve were before the fall versus a flesh being connected to the world, which is what they were like after the fall. This is our redemption. So you're right in that assertion, and if you're asking for confirmation, then there you go. That's what we can actually experience in God. Now, the very fact that you'd ask that question shows, just like so many, and like myself, I'm growing in this too, it shows how much religion can get in your head, warp you, so that when you hear this, you think it's too good to be true, and it must be false because nobody could have a relationship with God like that. Everybody's supposed to. We're God's children. Okay, is there anything else that we're getting from text messages at all? You know, for a while there, we actually did get, in my opinion, I think we'd get 10, 15, 20 texts. But now, I don't think we've gotten but maybe one or two, have we?
Well, we got some more here. It says, love the topic tonight. Please check the mailbox before next Tuesday. Someone is sending something.
Oh, that's nice.
I will. I'll check the mailbox before next Tuesday. And that's, see, if somebody gives me a heads up, if they send a text message or an email that says, hey, BJ, go to town, check the mailbox.
Right, sure.
I do.
Sure.
Then we got one here. It says, just checking in from the farm. BJ, I'm glad you had great help baling hay. I've had some good help building fences recently. Appreciate you guys.
You were just talking about a crew of fence builders.
We got to build some fence. Well, it's really not a fence. It's more of a fire break, a windbreak, a storm shelter, kind of a barrier. It's
going to be strong enough to handle some pretty high winds around here?
It's going to be 6 feet high. We're putting a post every 6 feet, and each post is going to be about 3.5 to 4 feet in the ground, filled up with cement and anchored in the cement.
Right.
We're not using nails. We're using screws that not just go into the wood, but actually will come out a little bit on the other side, so you get a through and through connection with your wood. We're using the thicker corrugated tin that's usually only used for roofs. You know, too thick, too heavy for walls.
Right.
So we're using roofing tin. And usually people put a crossboard every 18 inches to 24 inches. We're going to have crossboards every 12 inches, which means that every 6 foot piece of tin, every 12 inches, is going to have six screws in it.
Oh, okay.
And the corners are being braced that are going to catch the wind with some support posts. So
now, is it going to be like a wall? Are you going to have some space in there so the wind can get through? Or
no, because if the wind gets through, so can grass fires. And so can bullets. And so can trash. And this is supposed to be an obstacle.
Okay.
And so I don't know about any other kind of construction, but in agriculture, when you build a barn or a doghouse, You build it to withstand abnormal weather conditions, because it's impossible to build something for the epic, you know, tornado or hurricane.
Right.
And what do I care about that stuff? Because if my fence gets destroyed in the wind, then I'm going to have a serious conversation with the guys. I'm going to chew them out, and I'm going to hold them accountable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I'm working hard on this fence. I'm paying people to help me work this fence. And so if the guys let something happen to my fence, then, they're going to have to answer to me if something happens to my fence. So I know they don't want that. Now, that's conviction and commitment.
I guess, right? You know, with our subject, I said something to you. In fact, it's a really good topic when we were talking, Pastor Eric there in Wilson, Elm City. And we were talking about some things, and he made some comments. I wrote them down right away. And his comment was that people every once in a while catch a glimpse of light. And they feel, on one hand, they can feel so special that they saw that glimpse of light. They can feel so encouraged that they've known other people were seeing glimpses of light. They've never seen it, so now they've seen it. But because that's the way everybody kind of looks at it, they stop right there. They don't go any further. But to see a glimpse of light only means that there's a complete source of light if you follow the glimpse. So if there's a ray of sunlight and that's all you got is one ray, if you've got a source of energy that's producing that one ray, what's the possibility it's producing millions of rays? So to be content with one ray while the source of the light is something that you should follow, that's really limiting. That's a great hindrance or a boundary. And I'm describing years and years and years of men feeling really special about having, well, you know, back in 1933, and even today, in the day that we're living, we still quote people like Wigglesworth, Smith Wigglesworth, and John G. Lake, and some of the old-timers, Mariah Woodworth Etter, because we're finding ourselves struggling to have even a glimpse of the light that they had back then. Now think how sad that is on the scale of constant progression. A relationship and a fellowship that has no end, but it continually moves forward. It's like stocks that go up. They don't fall. They never fall. They just keep going up. Someone may be going up at a greater angle than someone else. Someone may be going up faster than someone else. But the idea that we're continuing to have greater experiences more often and at will. I'm going to look up a scripture right here in John 15 because it actually says something about this very point here about the will that's in man. All right, let me get to this here. John 15. I'm pretty sure. No, it's John 5. Let me back up a little bit. Here we go. John 5 and around verse 20. Let me get to it here. All right. It says here, verse 20, "For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will." Notice Jesus is showing us something here, that your will to have more, your will to produce results, your will to have testimonies is the reason why you will or you won't. And this is something that BJ said to me the other day, and we used some interesting words to kind of describe it, but he was saying, if you say you love God, if you say you want more of God, if you say you want to see grace, and you don't, then, I'll say it to you in the nicest way, that's baloney. It's baloney. It's rubbish. It's not true. Well, no. I really want to see God. If you really want to see him, then there's an insatiable desire to move forward until you see him. And that's what it means to seek him and then find him. Any thoughts from you?
Well, there's so much to be learned from just a few key areas of the book. How the punishment of man, Adam and Eve, man, the punishment of man was a reality that we all are participating in right now as we listen to this show.
Right.
And that Revelations destroys that reality.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, come on, folks, think about this. The really good stuff happens before the punishment of Adam and Eve. And the really great stuff happens after the destruction of the reality created for the punishment of Adam and Eve.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And then take this into account. I know the Alpha. I know how this started. I know the omega. I know how it's going to end, which means that the wonders of the Garden of Eden and the wonders of heaven are for those who understand that between the Alpha and the Omega, I've never even told you this before,
right?
That between the Alpha and the Omega, the reality, the punishment of Adam and Eve, the reality that that reality is then killed, destroyed, burned, flooded, totally destroyed, and Revelations, and then you just add the frosting. Psst, hey, by the way, there's nothing good of the flesh and the world. You add these three little significant things up, you realize that anything that has to do with that reality is false. That trying to worry or fix or adjust something that has to do with something that is so temporary. If we're made in God's image and the lifespan of modern man is less than 100 years, and you look at Revelations in heaven and you look at Genesis and the Garden of Eden, why do we give so much credence? Why do we worry so much about a lousy little 100 years? Because everybody listening to this radio show is saying, well, you know, my parents made it to their late 80s. Boy, I hope I make it that long.
Sure.
From a standpoint of the guys, seriously? You're vested in 80 years? You're vested at 100 years?
Right.
And oh yeah, let's bring into the fact that there is all kinds of scripture where people lived hundreds of years. And the reason we don't live hundreds of years is because we make too many mistakes now, let alone if we lived to be 400. It's there for the absorption. It's there for the understanding. Because once you see things this way, all of a sudden, grace says, hey, hello, been here the whole time.
Right, right.
Finally, yeah. Let's have some fun.
You're looking in my direction.
Yeah, let's get to work. You finally realize that it's just all a joke.
So put that together with all of Paul's writings. It's nothing but trying to reveal one simple truth, isn't it?
Yep. Well, we got some texts and emails. So we got one texting from Broken Arrow and seeing grace for me all the time. Wonder who that is.
Probably my mom.
I don't know. I don't know.
She's not going to get duped into being on the show again, you know, so she's probably keeping it to herself.
do you think at 8 o'clock on a Tuesday night your mom turns her phone off?
Yeah, I mean, she knows that routine now. She's definitely smarter than that.
But here's the problem. I don't know what we don't know who sends texts.
No, I know. I
mean, unless they say, like, Dennis and Miro and Matt's in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, we're right. Clueless.
Right.
I mean, I don't know who sent the text.
Right.
So all we know is we got somebody in Broken Arrow.
Sure.
All right, let's get down to these emails. We got an email that came in 17 minutes ago. It says, hi, Jim and BJ. How do we access the live stream at the library? Do we have to have Facebook in order to watch it? Please advise. Great topic tonight, Keisha. Yeah, they need Facebook. Right?
Yes.
Or do they just...
Yes, they do. Or they can go, hold 1 minute. Hold your place there. Go ahead and give...
I'll read another one?
Yeah, I'll come back to Keisha.
Okay.
I'm looking something up, Keisha, just a moment.
We got one here. Ranger, they said hi to you. Hi, Ranger. I know. It says, hi, BJ, Jim, and Ranger. Happy you're back in person, Jim. The show is changing our lives for the good. Get something each week. On a personal note, we had our second great-granddaughter today, named Hannah, which happens to mean grace. Oh, guess who this is? Hold on. Boy, am I behind the learning curve, because for the last 3 weeks, I haven't had to push any buttons because you haven't been here. But they have a new great-granddaughter, and her name is Hannah, which means grace. And this comes all the way from Morgan Hill, California. You know, we talked about how Graham and Grandpa, the outlaw bikers,
right?
You know how they've got one of those three-wheeled motorcycles?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they got like luggage places on them. They could take the lid off of one of those luggage things and put like a car seat in it for Hannah.
Could they really? No.
Well, I would. At my age, why should I start to do the right thing now when I've had so much fun enjoying the ride?
Yeah, that's true. That's totally
all right,
true.
Did you find what you were looking for?
No.
Okay, got another email here. It says...
Well, what I was looking for was the Facebook thing. Now, there is a... On our website, the radio show website, there's a place where you can see the live stream, but it's archived. So, the Facebook is the place to see it. Jim Hockaday Facebook.
Okay. All right. We got an email here that says, wow, they're real official. It says, Mr. Rickard and Mr. Hockaday. Got to be a bill collector.
Mm-hmm.
Or bail bondsman.
Yeah, bail bondsman.
Process server. Banker. School principal. Someone who I really have.
IRS agent?
I don't know. Have you ever been audited?
Yes.
How many times?
Once.
I've been audited twice by the IRS, and both times I got money back.
That's pretty cool.
And the only reason they audited me was because of income to assets.
Yes.
I wasn't showing a profit for like 10, 12 years.
Hmm.
And then I says, well, when I get to a certain point, I don't make money. And he says, what do you mean? And I says, I just stop. I know how much money I can make yearly, and I don't have to pay any taxes to the government. And when I get to that point, I don't work anymore that year. And he says, well, why would you do that? And I says, it's me and a dog and horses. I says, I don't have a family. I don't have to worry about college funds or alimony. And I don't want to give any money to the government unless I have to. So I keep track. And when I get to a point and I know that I may have to pay taxes, I just stop working until the first of the year. I just don't make any money.
Did they get it?
Well, yeah, they gave me money back.
Hmm.
Because I, you know, do all my own stuff. All my own taxes. Hey.
I got audited because we gave too much money to the work of the Lord.
Really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yep. It was a red flag. They saw that we gave a certain substantial amount, and they said...
Did you get punished for it?
Yeah. They said, can you prove it? And I said, yeah. And I sent them all the receipts, and they said...
And then did they say okay?
Nope. They said, that's not good enough. So I sent them all the letters from the churches that we gave to, and they said, that's not good enough.
Really?
And then they charged us with about a 40% charge of what we gave that we had to pay them back, and we paid them back.
Would you like to hear my response to that?
Yeah.
That if it was really money for the Lord and those were really churches, you wouldn't have had to deal with the IRS. Grace wouldn't have allowed you to suffer like that.
Maybe so.
So it was money...
Wasted.
I'm just looking at it from an absolute basis. And folks, you're probably going, oh, how could he say that to poor Jim?
Well, let me say this. He says a lot worse than that, folks. I didn't even twitch. I promise you.
That was lobbed in, wasn't it?
Oh gosh,
that's not even a fastball.
No, that was almost a banana split, and yeah, I'm enjoying it.
That was almost a handshake or a pat on the back.
It was. Folks, if you only knew,
that's right,
what
yeah.
it takes to make this show happen.
If you only knew some of the comments that poor little Jimmy Hockaday has to endure.
Holy smokes. I think I'm getting a reward when I get to heaven for this.
That's it. I'm your penance.
You are.
Yeah.
You are. God put you in my life to humble me.
You don't have a cross to bear. You have to tote a horseman and a dog.
It's worse than a cross. I'd rather have a cross. Give me your cross, Lord.
Hey, I got a whole stack of fence posts I just bought.
Let's put it together.
Right on the other side of the wall.
Let's put it together. I'll practice.
All right, it says, Mr. Rickard, Mr. Huckaday, in the times you've been distracted or, again, preoccupied with the cares of the world, I'm curious about your thoughts about getting back. I think sometimes pride holds us back a bit from getting back, and our disappointment in ourselves we project onto God, maybe. Do you feel the guys are ever disappointed like we think? Or maybe God thinks we can't handle a level of increase because we get distracted by it. Almost like a kid getting more freedom and he doesn't spend time at home, so the parents take it away. Kind of. Laugh out loud. I'm curious your thoughts or experiences. This is from someone named Chris.
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's an interesting question. You go first.
Well, I really don't think God gets disappointed because he made us to choose and he gave us the right to choose. So depending on your choices, it's pretty much your lot in life, your experiences of life, and whether or not you're connected with Jesus Christ and all goes well for you for the rest of your life and your eternal experience with God. I mean, I think this hand in hand goes to the ultimate of free will. Now, God would rejoice in somebody choosing him and his ability to be seen, be witnessed to, be testified. But if somebody chooses not to, there's really not anything that God can do. And I don't think there's any reference to that God sits back and he, you know, moans and groans about anything. He just recognizes an individual has chosen what they chose, and whether they're distracted, whether they choose to be distracted, those are the things that we're endeavoring through the enlightenment of this show, the Word of God, our experiences with God, to help give people an understanding so that they can make better choices. Everything I do when I go into these meetings and preach on the weekend is just to help people have a better understanding of how to make simple choices that let God be God. Go ahead.
No, I don't think the guys are ever disappointed because there's evidence to the contrary. All of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. So that means that they realize that we're going to, however you want to put it, we're going to stumble, we're going to fail, we're going to have to start over at scratch or ground zero, whatever you're happy with saying. And so the whole sheer fact of all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, and the blood of Christ paid for our grace shows that disappointment isn't even in the factor. It's nothing to be considered. And you have to remember this. Remember that there were countless, I mean, we're talking countless, hundreds of thousands of people around the world that it was known at the time of Jesus that knew there was a quote-unquote Son of Man, a Son of God, the Son, Jesus, who consciously chose not to seek him out.
Right.
Not to subscribe to his philosophies or beliefs.
Even after seeing grace.
They would see someone walk up who was blind and who was grasping onto someone's clothing to walk and stumble and trip in the uneven dirt-rocked ground. And they would leave with their sight. And they still chose not to participate.
Right.
So there is no disappointment because part of the glorious, endless, boundless, limitless love of Christ is to allow us to choose to fail.
You know, you look at Jesus.
Did that make sense?
It did. How he talked with the Pharisee. Because the Pharisee is someone who literally saw the evidence of Christ, someone who's supposed to be actually studying about the history of God and the experiences of God to come. And literally, they would begin to scorn Jesus, try to kill Jesus, try to stop Jesus from speaking, embarrass him, whatever you may. And Jesus would shoot back with the most straightforward words to the Pharisees. You hypocrites, you whitewashed hypocrites. And he would speak right at them, straightforward. And you think it's mean, but notice what Jesus is doing. He's hitting them right between the eyes, exactly where they're at. He's calling a spade, and he's showing them exactly where their heart is so that they can make a change and repent and have God. I'm showing you that even with Jesus, where he could have just said, enough is enough, you Pharisees, then go ahead and go to hell. Notice Jesus did what? He confronted them with truth that gave them an opportunity to change. God, even with our choices, is always going to relentlessly, because he believes in mercy. He delights in mercy, not judgment. Relentlessly, he's going to continue to reveal to us what is, what isn't, so that we can make choices. It all comes down to that. So simple. Even to the point where the thief on the cross was moments away from dying, and he made a choice to say, I believe in you, Jesus. And Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. It shows you that all sins forgiven removes God from that displeasure over into what? Complete belief and trust in you to make a choice. I think that's a real good question. Good. Are there any other emails that we've gotten tonight?
Let me refresh the screen. Nope. There's still time, though, folks. If you want to send a text message, the first word that you type in your text is the word grace. And then your comment or question, and you send it to this 5-digit number, 69302. The email is the name of the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And this is on the contacts page on the show's website. And also, don't forget, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock until 8 o'clock Central Time. Okay, that's Central Time, USA. On Jim Huckaday's Facebook page, you can log on and access and see Jim and listen to the one-hour conversation at the Hardesty Library in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Remember, that is 7 to 8 Central Time on Facebook. If you miss it, you don't have them up on archives yet, but sooner or later we will do that on the site. And so if you're missing out on these libraries, sooner or later we will have those on the radio show's website as well.
Now, you can always get them.
Right? You're working on that?
Yeah. Yes, we are. We can always get those on the audio. The audios are always available.
They are?
Yes, on my website.
On your ministry website.
That's correct. That's correct.
The pasteurizing page.
Yeah, that's right. You can always get those.
Oh, wait a minute. Do we have an email? No, we don't have an email. Sorry about that.
You know, a scripture here. I don't think I've ever shared this one with you, but just it goes along the lines of what I shared about, and I really liked what Pastor Eric had said to me the other day. We were just talking about these things, and he said it's kind of like how people do, they shortchange what they could experience in God by just not seeing past just a glimpse or a glimmer. And they'll get a glimpse or glimmer of God every once in a while, and they'll marvel in it instead of pursuing the idea that that glimmer or glimpse actually leads them to the fullness of light. So I'm over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I love this. It says, nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, people that don't turn to the Lord, they'll see something. They'll get a glimpse. They'll see an instance of grace, but they never turn to acknowledge God. They never give themselves to experience God. Then there's no connection being made. And it goes on to say, for those who do turn, the veil is taken away. What a wonderful thought there, folks, that when you turn toward Christ, when you're willing to repent, veils will disappear. In other words, things that are keeping you from clearly seeing what is really there, you may only get a little bit of an image, or a veil may be so thick you don't see anything at all. It's like a curtain, you know, that you put up, and it literally has the ability to completely block out all light that would come in. So either or, the idea is a veil isn't good. And when you turn toward the Lord, when there's repentance, that veil is removed. And then it says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Notice it's talking about from glory to glory. In other words, thank God there's what? There's progression and experience of glory to glory. There is more than a glimmer. This show, we started out and we shared some wonderful things that just begin to open our eyes to the fact that maybe, just maybe, before the fall, before Adam and Eve put things into a perspective of such flesh, world, carnality, punishment, where man had to have God come to him. I mean, look at the fact how Jesus had to come. God loved the earth and he sent his only begotten Son. Well, it should have been where man was just perpetually fellowshipping with God 24/7. God was real all the time. Well, what if Christ coming, restoring things to a place where we have union with God? In other words, a complete connection with God that you can actually experience him all the time. What would begin to happen? Well, the glory that you see today, you'll see more tomorrow, and more the next day, and more the next day. And it begins to bring, what? A different perspective to your life. Because this is what I'm seeing here. And I saw it this weekend, preaching in Elm City. A young man and his wife came from St. Louis, Missouri. And he had been battling cancer for over 8 years. And he came, and his whole heart was just so wide open. His wife just had tears in her eyes, and they wanted to learn. And she just asked a question before I ministered. She said, well, how do we make this change? How do we open our hearts? How do we open our minds? I said, well, that's my job in the next, you know, next couple of hours as we're ministering. I said, so just come on up. And as we were ministering the truth of God's word and bringing the perspective that could open a heart and open the mind to the wonder of God, and close the heart and close the mind to the ridiculousness of cancer symptoms, which Jesus already defeated, a false world and a false reality. We barely touched this man by the name of Jim, and the power of God went all over him. He grabbed his heart and said, my heart is happy, with tears in his eyes. And the power of God went into him. And within the very next day, here's a cancer patient that's thin as can be, can't eat, and he's just wolfing down food, cleaning his plate. Well, God's already, that wonderful touch of God, he's back on his feet, praise the Lord, and we're looking forward to looking at a really awesome picture of Jim with all of his weight back on.
Now, we just got a text that says, excuse me, so how do we get out of this reality? And then it says, thank you. You want to answer it first? How do you get out of this reality? What's your response to that?
Well, first thing is just to recognize there's another one.
That's a nice answer. I like that.
Second thing.
Just like that game show. Good answer. Good answer. What game show is that?
Is that Family Feud?
Family Feud. Good answer. Good answer. Yeah. Top 10 survey said.
I really like Steve Harvey. He does an awesome job at that. We do. Chloe watches that sometimes.
I like the original guy, the English guy that was in Hogan's Heroes.
What was his name?
I can't remember. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure do.
He was an English actor,
He was a sidekick to Hogan, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was the English guy.
Yeah. I totally remember that. Anyhow, yeah, he was really good. I like Steve Harvey. He's pretty funny.
You watch that show?
Well, Chloe watches it sometimes, so I'll watch it with her.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. She does that DVR thing, you know, where you tape them.
I got TiVo.
A TiVo thing, so she could just pretty much turn to those anytime and just watch one. But okay, good answer. One, recognize that there is. Well, you know, again, God should be the reality of all realities, but I know truthfully from the Word of God, the Bible is a compiling of individuals' testimonies and evidences of another world and experiences with an amazing God. So as you read in the Bible, it opens your mind and your heart to the idea that there's so much more for me to experience. And without an open mind and an open heart, with a closed imagination and no creativity, you're not going to experience anything. So to know that there is so much more is to open your heart to it. And then in order to get there, you have to take the value that you placed on the world that isn't the reality that you want. You have to take it away. In other words, lose the importance of the everyday grind and all of your lists and priorities and busyness and drama. Lose the importance of all of it and recognize it for what it is, an amazing distraction to the real world of God. And that would be my answer. And at that point, you're well on your way to beginning to hear the voice of God and recognize His presence.
Thanks. Somebody just texted. Richard Dawson. That was the actor's name.
Oh, okay.
They said Richard Dawson on Hogan's Heroes.
Yep.
It says, okay, question. So how do we get out of this reality? Well, number one, I'm going to say I don't know, because I don't know what your reality is. I mean, and generally speaking, we all have the same reality. But to give you an example, I'm just going to give you my reality. This is just, and this is how I'm going to answer this question, so you understand why I said I don't know, and how really our lives and realities are different. So I'm just going to, today was nothing special. This was a normal day. I woke up this morning, and the barn cats were having a fight, so they woke me and Ranger up. And since we were up, and we both had to go to the bathroom, we started the day about 2 hours early. We let the horses out into the pasture, and when I opened up a gate, it almost fell off, so I had to fix the gate after I let the horses out. Then I let the chickens out in their area and gave them water. Then I went and checked the trap, and there was a possum in the trap. So I had to shoot the possum, and then I had to hold it by the tail and carry it down the road so that it was completely away from the ranch, because possums carry diseases. Then I came back and had something to eat for breakfast. Somebody said they wanted to buy 50 bales of hay, and they needed them right now. And so I gave them directions to the ranch. They said they'd be here in 20 minutes. And they showed up an hour and a half later. And they bought 2 bales of hay, which is typical.
Mm-hmm.
Then the workers showed up, and I had them working. One of them slammed their finger in a door because they were mad at their boyfriend. And so they were crying, and I had to help them through that. Then I got on a tractor, mowed fence lines. Then I got on a lawnmower and mowed a little bit. Then I had to go to town, and I got a bag of cotton candy, 2 boxes of shotgun shells, and some chocolate-covered peanuts, and some chicken feed. Then I came home. The neighbor called me, wanted me to castrate a couple goats, so I went over and castrated a couple goats. Jim called and said that he wanted to come out to the ranch and work tomorrow. So we talked about that. Then I went back to town to the post office. Then I went to the lumber yard, bought nails, and then I came back, did horse chores, and got ready for the show. Now, that was my day. Now, I'll bet a shiny new dime that most of the people listening, that wasn't close to their day. And that was just, so that's my reality. My point being is that we all have our own idea of what real, the word R-E-L is, what real is, what's tangible. And that transcends to what is special and what's important to us.
Right.
I don't have kids, and so I really don't care if the school library closes early, or if a football game is canceled, or if homecoming is a disaster. I don't have kids, so it's not in my reality. So when you ask how do we get out of this reality, what you first have to decide is how real is what you're really living, because it's only real to you. And the reality you have is the reality you live. If you live in New York, you've never driven a car, you don't own a driver's license, and you take taxis and subways, you've never seen a possum, and you can't imagine trapping one and killing it and holding on to the tail and driving down the road, hanging it out the door of a pickup truck, then you would say, that's not real to me. That's not my reality. I'm on a subway having a bagel and coffee in a 3-piece suit. So that's the point, because we all have a fresh worldly reality.
Right.
The only real common denominator between any of us is that at any given moment we can choose to ignore that reality and choose the reality of Christ.
Right.
I don't know if I answered it or not.
Right. I like it. It's good.
Do you want to let me check for emails and make sure? Let's see if we got any emails. We don't. And
what kind of music do we got tonight? Talking music, praying music.
Oh, I can pick something out real quick. Okay, so we're all cut up on emails. You want me to pick out something?
Yep.
Okay.
Surprise me and see if I can flow with it.
Really? All right. Let me see here. Oop, wrong one. I got to go one more frame. Got to remember, folks, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 keypads, 6 computer screens, a huge soundboard, and microphones. Why somebody lets me have all this is beyond me.
Well, I want to say thank you to everybody for being with us tonight on the show, and for all those that may listen to it at another night. We certainly encourage you to get in on the live broadcast, because the interaction through the emails and the text is actually what makes this show really special. So we're glad to be back live again, and I just trust tonight and pray for everyone here that you will be able to lay down the importance of your world and what you've allowed to become real, or what you've known all your life to be real. Lose the importance of it. In other words, what would happen if I didn't have the importance? It might mean that I put my importance on something else. Maybe grace is everywhere. Maybe God's right there, right now. Maybe there's no pain and there's no sickness, and yet it seems to be so evident. Why don't you open up your heart and your mind tonight, just like Paul prayed, that your eyes would be open so you can see it as it is. And then seeing it like it is, make simple choices. And God's grace, God's Holy Spirit and anointing touches your life, and you see such awesome radical change. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Did you like that?
Yeah, it's great music.
Well, how's it feel to be back in the barn?
Oh, that's nice.
Really?
Yeah, I like it.
Well, at least one of us are happy.
Did you hear? I heard.
You tell them, Rachel. See, the girl's got it.
Hey, I can leave anytime. That's all right.
And hey, tell him that I'm not giving her any cues to bark.
Listen, he's pushing a little pedal that barks.
Oh, yeah,
like
whatever. No. That's what makes it fun, is that we really don't give her any commands in here at all.
No.
Every once in a while, I'll tell her to sit or lay down. But what do you got going on your phone?
Oh, it's just I took the thing off. She seems to have a clock.
You know, she does the same thing during my radio show.
When it's real close to the end, she stands up and she gets ready for her little moment.
Yeah, she's got, I don't know what it is, but she does the same thing. You know when Shelley Love had that little show?
Right.
She did the same thing. She knew when the show was over. I don't know what it is, because the music's different, the words are different. There's no more, it has nothing to do with my activity level.
Now, in every show, does she always eat afterwards? So is there a motivation for her to really want you to be done?
She gets, just like all the livestock on the ranch, everybody is fed within a similar frame of time. I mean, we do chores every day between 3:30 and 6.
Right.
And we let the horses out every morning between 9:30 and 11:30.
Okay.
And so Ranger and I eat supper every night between, 10 and midnight.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm not on a tight schedule. Every day is a little different, but,
sure,
you know, there's going to be meals. So I don't know.
Just made me wonder.
Now, what's interesting is the 3 weeks that you weren't here, I fed her before the shows.
Yeah, and then what was she like during it?
Well, I wasn't talking. I was listening. I was doing things.
Oh.
And right. I was getting up and moving, so...
Did she seem antsy at all?
Well, she kind of wondered why we were in here, because she wanted to go outside and play.
Hmm.
You know, and she couldn't understand why we would leave and why we would come back, and you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
Okay.
Well...
It's a good show tonight.
I want to welcome all the new listeners to the show. Remember, Jim is back in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So check out Facebook or his Huckaday Ministry page tomorrow night at 7 o'clock so you can look and listen live. You going to be here next week?
Yes.
Well, remember, check out the archives page. And thanks for all the emails and text messages. We'll see you here next Tuesday night. Take care of yourselves and your animals. And remember, dog spelled backwards is...
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Way to go, Ranger.